talk this morning, at least starting out, as to the effectiveness of a preacher and when the preacher is not effective. Understand that if one is teaching the Word of God, as Joseph read this morning, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 2, preach the Word. If preachers are preaching the Word, it doesn't matter which preacher it is, they start on equal footing. And that equal footing is that they have the best material in the world. And that's absolutely so. Now, there are differences that come down from that as far as presentations are concerned. I'm not talking about presentations. I'm not even talking about some of the comments by members about preachers. And I'm sure that you've heard them. I'm sure you've never said any of these things, but I'm sure that you've heard them. Well, he preaches too long or he preaches too short. Someone says, now wait a minute. I've never heard anybody say that the preacher preaches too short. I have. I've actually been chided by one member that told me, you're not preaching long enough. And I pulled that member to the side and I told him, I'll tell you what, you need to really hold that down because you could be stoned for that. And so there are those that actually say, you know, the sermons need to be longer. And then there are those that will say something to the effect of, well, he uses PowerPoint presentations or he doesn't use PowerPoint presentations. Positive for some, negative for the others. Some like it, some don't. That's, again, around the things that are presentation-oriented. He uses too big of words or he doesn't have a good vocabulary. And sometimes that's used in the same accusation with the same preacher. It all depends on what the lesson was and how it struck the individual. And then he's too serious or he's not serious enough. And then his sermons are too shallow or too deep. And I remember one member in a congregation where I was at, he actually had placed membership and he had left the congregation where he was because he said, well, the sermons weren't deep enough. And so he came to that congregation and he didn't stay long and he left there. I guess they were still too shallow. And then he's too old or he's too young. And I hear that one a lot. And those are the perceptions as to why and some of the reasons that even some of the members of the body of Christ say, well, a preacher's not effective because of these things. And again, it doesn't get back to the material. That gets back to the presentation or the personality of the preacher himself. And there's going to be differences of that. There are going to be differences in those aspects. The constant should be the Word of God. The constant should be. And we'll see that because when we look over at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter in verse 5, and I know all the things that were mentioned there that Joseph read for us in verses 1 through 4, but I really want, in connection with the effectiveness of the preacher, to look at verse 5 and what Paul says here. And he says, but watch there, he's speaking to Timothy, his son in the faith, the preacher of God's word. This is a charge, and the charge continues from verse 1 that he gives to Timothy about his preaching, and I will say about effective preaching. And he says this in verse 5, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And what he does there is he sums up really what it is a preacher must do to be effective, and if a preacher isn't doing these things, he's being ineffective. Consider this with me, if you would. Not watching self, that moral alertness. Paul testified of himself in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter and verse 27. He says, I keep under my body. And what he's saying there in the 9th chapter, verse 27, 1 Corinthians is, I beat it up. I bring my body into submission. And the reason that I discipline my body, that I make sure that I do those things that are fit and are right in accordance with God's righteousness and His will, is that wherever I preach the Word of God, if I don't have that moral alertness, if I don't beat my body up and discipline it, then I myself will also be a castaway. There's one thing about the effectiveness of a preacher, and that is if he brings the Word, but he's not living the Word, then he's not really effective in his preaching. And people see through that. They see through that. He's not what he's preaching. He's preaching an ideal that is there that possibly he's not even striving for. Nor is he trying to attain unto that. He's just preaching at people rather than preaching to get the Word across for each and every one. I will tell you, and I know that you've heard this before, and I'm not giving lip service to this. When I prepare lessons, I get the greatest benefit out of that than you do. Because I study that so thoroughly and I look at it, and part of the reason why is this moral alertness. And I recognize the accountability in preaching the gospel of Christ. It's a great accountability. And one that must be recognized. Because you stand before a group of people, you make proclamation before them of what God's word is, and if you don't live it, you're nothing more than just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, because it's really not from another standpoint that we'll talk about last here in just a moment. That is love. And so the first thing that he tells them here in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 5 is, watch yourself. Be morally alert in your preaching to be effective. But not only that, he says, suffer evil, endure. When you look in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and verse 3, Paul says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. He's talking about suffering evil or enduring evil. Now, when you think about that, it comes in a lot of different forms. James says in the third chapter in verse 1, brethren, be not many teachers, because they receive the greater condemnation. And I have seen preachers that take exception to anyone that question anything that they say in their sermon. And I'll tell you, you can't do that. There has to be a long suffering that goes along with it, and not only from that standpoint, but also a suffering of evil. There will be those that will turn and rend you again, so to speak, as Christ talked about those in which he would not cast his pearls before, those that were swine. They would not be fair in their minds, nor would they be fair in their treatment of those that bring the Word of God because of what the Word of God does to them, and we'll probably talk about that this evening. But wherever you look at it, they get to the point where it becomes a personal attack. And what Paul is telling Timothy here is that you endure that attack. And wherever you think of that, It's just proper and it's right. You go back to the third and fourth chapters of Acts. And where you look there, you look at the healing of the cripple there in Jerusalem. He wanted alms from Peter and John. And Peter looks upon him and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. And he heals him. And from that point forward, there was persecution that was placed upon Peter and John, even to the point of casting them into prison. But yet there was a release that was made. And wherever you think about that, there was a suffering of evil. But you look at that account in the third and fourth chapter of Acts, and what you find is that upon the release and upon the beating and then the eventual coming before the Sanhedrin again in the fifth chapter of Acts, after they were beaten and released, you see their reaction. They were glad. They rejoiced that they could suffer for the cause of Christ Jesus. That's part of what Paul is telling Timothy here to do. You suffer evil, and that enduring has to be also involved with the thought of joy, because who it is that you are working for, who it is that you are preaching the gospel for, it is for Christ Jesus. It is for the truth. It is for souls. And so if there is evil to endure, you must endure that. He's saying here, really, when we look at it from the negative in the aspect that we're looking at, a preacher is ineffective unless he endures suffering. Unless he endures suffering. But also, a preacher is ineffective if he's not working. If he's not doing the undertaking of that which he is assigned to do as a preacher of God's word. When we look over in 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, and verse 10. Paul says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And wherever I think about this and the effectiveness of preaching, it's something that I've had to learn over a period of time. That it's not just sitting in your office and closing the door and not having any sort of contact with any of the members or with those that are not Christians. There's the attitude, I think, by some preachers, you know, I'm doing the work, because I'm getting my sermons together for Sunday, and for Sunday evening I might even be teaching a class, and that's good enough. That's not the totality of work. Because when you think about the effectiveness of preaching, the preaching itself is to affect souls. affect souls with the truth, with the gospel of Christ Jesus. And it's more than just sitting in your office and being engulfed in words and scriptures and passages. That's important. But that's not the totality of it. And I'll tell you, a preacher that does that without any interaction of people is really not effective. They're not effective. Whenever you also think about when a preacher is not effective is whenever he's not producing. We look over in Colossians, the fourth chapter. Colossians, the fourth chapter, and there we look at verse 17. Colossians 4 and verse 17. Paul says this. He says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that you fulfill it." A preacher is not effective unless he is producing in his work. And the product there is not that he can say, "Well, I baptized so many and so many responded that were fallen away and came back to the truth." Those are good things. But that's not the fulfillment that Paul is talking about here. That's not the production that is there. It goes back, I believe, in one aspect to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth." It is that product of making sure that what is presented in that work is absolute truth. It's not from the mind of man. It's not based upon I thinks, but it's rather based upon, as Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, the oracles of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And the product that is to be sent forth by an effective preacher is the truth and nothing less than the truth. And when he will not do that work unto producing truth, he's not an effective preacher. And then not loving. Wherever I look over in 1 Timothy the 6th chapter, verse 10 and 11. 1 Timothy 6, 10 and 11. Paul says this, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, and while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou," he says to Timothy, "O man of God," and I believe he's talking about him being an evangelist, a preacher of God's word, "but thou, O man of God, flee these things," that is the love of money, "and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." There's not many congregations that pay, and I use that just so you'll understand, support is the better word, it's actually the proper word, support a preacher at a very high rate. There are some, and there are some that are able to do that. And I will tell you, I believe the preachers that are in those congregations where that is done, and they're usually large congregations, I believe that the majority of them are being supported properly, even at that very high rate, because of the work that they're doing. And then there are congregations that I believe are starving the preachers out. And that's not here, by the way. I'm not making a statement concerning that. I appreciate the support that I received this congregation. I thank you very much for that. But what Paul is talking about here really gets back that what the preacher does is not about money. It's not about money. I'll just have to be honest with you. And you may find this odd, but Daryl hands me a check every month, usually around the middle of the month. And I'll just be honest, I'm shocked whenever I see it. It's a reaction of shock. I mean, what's that? Because I don't think about the money. And that's the way that the preacher should be. You see, what Paul is telling Timothy here is, don't be thinking about the money. Be thinking about the people. That's the reason that he mentions love in verse 11. Be thinking about the people. If the preacher is there to show how great of an orator he is, he's not effective. If the preacher is there to show that he can quote more scripture than anybody else, he's not effective. If the preacher is there so that he can argue down other people, he's not effective. If the preacher is there for the right reason, and that is the love of the people, the love of the work, and the love of his Lord, then he's effective. But without that, he's ineffective. When a preacher is without these attributes, he is ineffective because he's not preaching and living the gospel. He's just not doing it. There certainly are different likes and dislikes of the presentations by different men, their wordings, their mannerisms, the way they speak, the way they act, the way they look, and that's different. And we all have our likes and dislikes concerning that. But when we get right down to it, we look at the effectiveness of a preacher, it has to do with God's Word and living God's Word. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if this lesson ended right here? But I actually have part two. And that is, when is the hearer not effective? And I believe that you require equal time. And so that's the reason I bring this particular point out also. Well, here's some comments that I have heard. Of course, I've never said any of these things. But some that I've heard other preachers say about congregations. They appear to be asleep. It looks like they come here because it's nice and cool. Maybe they don't have air conditioning at home, or it's not working real well. So they come here and it looks like they're asleep. Or they're in a daze. They're thinking of something else. They're thinking of something else. They're playing with babies. Oh, I have never said that. That, of course, never happens in congregations. But I've never said that. They're playing with babies. They're not paying attention whatsoever. They're passing notes. I've seen that happen. Okay. They pass notes back and forth. Well, they're on their cell phones. Now, this one was more valid maybe several years ago, but with so many different apps that are out there where you can download Scripture, the Bible, and be turning to that, that's really not a valid one anymore. But I keep it in there for those that might be doing something else that I've heard about people do from time to time. And so that statement is made. They never open their Bibles. They never open their Bibles. They don't follow along. I've heard that statement made. Well, actually, when we think about the hearer, we all start at the same point. We start at the same point if we're true hearers of God, because if we're wanting to do God's will, we start at that point, and we can be effective or we can be ineffective in hearing what God's Word is and hearing what God's Word has to say to us. Consider this with me. First of all, a hearer is not effective when he's not present. That's number one. I wish... Every time, of course, that I bring a lesson like this, and I happen to mention this one point, there are those that may be out, not because of work. We understand, you know, that calls people away from time to time. Not because of sickness, but maybe it's because they put some other things first. And it always happens when I bring it out, they're not here. I wish they were here. I always like to do this to a full building. I just didn't have that afforded to me today. But certainly we understand the point. If you're not here, there's not going to be effectiveness in hearing, because you're not going to hear God's Word. There's something else that's taking place. Now, I'm talking about those that have a choice of where to be. They have a choice of where to be. But also, in connection with what Paul says, when we look over in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verse 9. Philippians 4 and verse 9. An effective hearer is not effective if the lessons are not as follows. Verse 9. Paul says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And so we'll break this down just like we did with verse 5 of 2 Timothy 4. We'll break this down because Paul's now talking about the hearers. He's not talking about the preacher anymore. He's talking about the hearers. So first of all, he says, "Those things that you have learned." Manthano, be appraised of, to increase one's knowledge, to be increased in knowledge. The passage that we had in the reading this morning from Joseph in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 16. Remember, the disciples of Christ Jesus asked the Master, "Why do you preach in parables?" "Because to you it is given, for you it is to see, for you it is to hear, because you're not saying, 'I do see and don't see and hear, and that I do hear and even though you don't see,' but you do see and you do hear because you want to learn." It is that increasing in knowledge, that desire to learn. A hearer is not effective if they just come to check the box and say, "Well, I was here on Sunday morning, or I was here on Sunday afternoon, or I was here on Wednesday. I've checked the box. I've done it." That's not effective hearing. Effective hearing has to do with taking in the increasing in knowledge, the desire of God's Word. Just look, sometimes read all 176 verses of the 119th Psalm. Especially in the segregation of each of the Hebrew alphabet letters there, at the very first verse of those segregations, look at the statement that is made all the way from the beginning to the end concerning the Word of the Lord. concerning the word of the Lord. I delight in thy knowledge. It's a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my pathway. All the different things that are said. The psalmist there, David, gloried in his ability and his desire to have to learn God's word, and was so grateful that it was afforded to him. That's the way that we should be. That's the way that hearers should be. They're effective when they're there, whenever they do that. But if they come not to learn, they're not effective. They're not effective. Not only that, but also to receive. And that is to take it in, to accept it, to acknowledge it. Not by being naive, because we look over at Acts 17, chapter and verse 11, talking about those of Berea that were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they heard the word and searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not the things that Paul was teaching were so. It wasn't from the standpoint of being naive that they were accepting it, but rather they were acknowledging what was being taught because they could go back to the scriptures and see it proved in the scriptures, that which was being taught. That is a hearer that is active and proactive in God's word. That is the highest, one of the highest points of effectiveness in hearers, that they do that. They just don't accept what is said. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people talk about their preacher from where they grew up in congregations where they were raised, and they'll come to a point and they'll say, well, you know, old brother so-and-so said this, and that's what I believe. Well, brother so-and-so may have been right. Brother so-and-so may have been wrong. The point is, we believe because we understand. We believe because we acknowledge, because we take it in, because we accept it, because it's proved in God's word, not because of what somebody else said. You remember the woman at the well in Samaria in John the 4th chapter. After her discourse with Jesus, she runs into the city and says, come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done in my life. He truly is the Christ. Jesus comes into the city there in Samaria where she was, began to teach, and spent 2 days with those people there. And you remember then what the men said of that city. Now we believe, not because the woman told us, but we have heard him. It goes back to this point right here. It goes back to that point of taking in, accepting it, acknowledging it, because it is proved in Scripture. That's the proactive, effective hearer. Then to hear. That is to perceive with the senses. To perceive, perceive with the sense in which that which is being taught is whether or not it is fully taken in, fully understood. I think about two passages in this. First of all, Nehemiah the 8th chapter. When you look at Nehemiah the 8th chapter, you remember there after the wall was built, the people come together in one place and they call for Ezra, the priest, to bring forth the book of the law, and he brings it out and he reads from the morning until after midday. And you remember what the Levites were doing as the reading of the law was taking place? They were walking out through the crowd. They were saying, do you understand what was just said? And if they didn't understand, well, then they gave a sense, as it says there in Nehemiah the 8th chapter. They gave a sense, in other words, an understanding of the words that somebody didn't understand. Do you understand what he's talking about? No, you don't. Well, this is what is meant. They gave a sense to that. And then I also think about Acts the 8th chapter and verse 30. Really, his attitude that all of us should have. When it comes to wanting to understand God's will, and there'll be some times in which we're stumped about some passages of Scripture or a topic and so forth. Philip goes to the Ethiopian nobleman in the desert of Gaza, and he sees him riding in the chariot, and he's reading from Isaiah the 53rd chapter, and he walks up to him in accordance with the instruction of God, and he says, do you understand what you read? And I love his response, because he wanted the sense of what was being taught. How can I except some man guide me? You see, there was that desire to have that sense of what God's word was. A effective hearer, an effective hearer will look for the sense in which the gospel is applicable to them. They will look for that sense. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I was so glad that so-and-so was here to hear that sermon? Well, what about us? We need to be thinking more about ourselves than someone else. We need to be thinking about how that applies to us. That then also brings to the point of an effective hearer sees, notices, discerns, and discovers those that are following Christ and what they're doing in their lives, and they use them as an example. In the third chapter of Philippians, in verse 17, Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so after as ye have us for an example." This is not the negative marking, this is the positive marking. Mark them that walk as examples of what Christians are to be, and follow them, because they're following the apostles, because they're following God's word. Whenever you look back on that, what Paul is saying is we shouldn't just be in a shell. You know, when we're in our own little world, when we're in a shell, when we cut everything else out, we make determination of what is right and wrong in our actions and so forth that's right just based upon the here and now with ourselves, rather than, am I really doing what is right? And there are those that live examples in this congregation of a Christian as they should. We have four men that are elders of this congregation, and they are good examples to us of what being a Christian is, and we should follow that example that is set forth. And not only that, but we also have other very good Christians, both men and women in this congregation, that are setting forth God's word in their life. And we should be following those examples that are there. We need to be watching and seeing and learning, and then imitating those things that are positive from others. And when we do that, we become an effective hearer. But also, this doing. This is the undertaking, the accomplishment, and the performing. Paul says in Colossians 3rd chapter and verse 16, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And wherever you get to the bottom line and think about the hearer, and really you even think about the preacher, and you think about all these things, if there's not an application, then it's wasted. All the preaching in the world, all the hearing of all the gospel sermons, does no one any good unless there is the application in their life to live what the gospel has to say. That's the point that we have here. Without these attributes, the hearer is ineffective because they are not hearing and living the gospel. That is what an effective hearer will do, is not only hear, but also put into practice what the gospel says. When one does that, they are an effective hearer. I ask you this morning, in listening to this sermon, you may have heard words in your ears, but did you understand it? If you're not a child of God, let me tell you that there's something else that is there too. There's a beginning point of hearing God's word, which leads one, if they are of good heart, to obey God and to be baptized for the remission of their sins, to be a child of God. And it leads them to that, because if they get to that point, what you can say about them is really what is said in that parable, the explanation that is given beginning in verse 17 of Matthew, the 13th chapter. And I didn't ask, actually verse 18, I didn't ask Joseph to read that, but we know it well, the parable of the seed and the sower. There was one individual, the one who had the good and honest heart, that put into practice the hearing of the gospel properly, the hearing of the truth. And from that person, there was a hundredfold return in the type of life that they lived, the example they set forth, and the work that they did. You see, Jesus was talking about becoming a child of God there. But we also have the effectiveness of the preacher. And let me tell you, there was not a preacher more effective than the master teacher, and that was Jesus Christ, who gave that sermon. That's what all preachers strive to do. None will ever attain, I will never attain what Jesus did as being the master teacher. But I can strive to be an effective preacher in preaching the truth. And so, if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, be that good hearer with that good heart that will come to the Lord with a penitent attitude, saying, I'll no longer serve self, but I'll serve God. I will name the name of Christ and I'll be baptized for remission of my sins. And it may even be some here today that have done that, but they have fallen away from the faith. They're no longer the hearers they should be. Partly because, number one, they're not here to listen. They're not where they live. They're not there to listen. there's a way back. And a good hearer that has a good heart, that once came to the Lord, that wants that relationship once again, will understand that by the blood of Christ Jesus, it doesn't stop at baptism, but it continues on anytime that we ask forgiveness of our sins. He'll forgive us. And those of the good and honest hearts that will return to the Lord and will once again work for Him because they want to be effective. I ask the question in closing, are we effective? Are we effective as in this congregation? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.